Welcome to another episode of IntentWise Connect podcast. And we bring this live from the Prosper show in Vegas. And just a quick note on IntentWise. We are a retail media optimization and analytics platform. And, you know, I've been coming to the Prosper show for a few years now. And what we're trying to do here is just bring some, you know, specific, unique insights from, you know, different aspects of the ecosystem. So with that as background, I'm super excited to have Nate. He's the managing director of Two Road Advisors.
Nailed it.
So we'll dig into the topic of how agencies should and can be, you know, prepared for some sort of an eventual exit, you know, if that's in their plans. But before we do that, I'm going to let Nate introduce himself. Nate, if you don't mind, please share with us a little bit of your background.
Yeah. So Two Roads Advisors is an investment bank. We work with software companies, agencies, brands, and e-commerce for folks who are considering either raising capital or selling their businesses. My personal background, early career as an engineer, worked at Bain & Company for 6 years, and then my foray into the e-com world was at Perch. So I was on the founding team there, and left Perch a couple years ago and joined Two Roads to come over to the sell side after having been on the buy side of a lot of transactions. So, you know, the M&A market has been pretty wild in the last couple of years in different directions. But excited to talk about agency M&A in particular. I think a lot of people have a misconception that they can't sell their agency because it's hard to imagine it running without you, which is a central topic that we'll get into. It's a pretty liquid market as well. When you have the right way of thinking about it.
Fantastic. So talking about the just the M&A landscape, and a lot has changed over the last 2-3 years. You know, I'm assuming. I'm not an M&A expert, but you know, interest rate,
yes,
money in the market, all of that seems to have, you know, really had an impact. But can you take a moment, just summarize kind of where we are at?
Yeah.
What to expect over the next year or so?
I would say 2 years ago. 2 to 3 years ago, the whole world was crazy. Objectively, whether it was software assets, service assets, consumer products assets, prices were probably too high for what would be long-term tenable. Interest rates didn't stay where at zero forever, of course. And so that situation has changed. There's, you know, last year was a year where no one knew what was happening. If you remember a year ago, we were worried about a banking crisis. Inflation was going through the roof. Interest rates were rising, and just no one knew what to think about the future. And so in 23, you saw half of the global M&A volume that you saw in 22, which was a massive, you know, massive step down. The reality, though, is that there's $2 trillion of investment dollars that are set to be put to work.
Yeah.
And when you look at the landscape in 24, things have stabilized, right? Rates are still higher, but they're not uncertain in the same way. Economy's good, stock market's at an all-time high, and that capital still needs to go somewhere. And so we're seeing already over the course of the last several months, just more investor activity than this time last year. And it's impacted different parts of the market in different ways. But overall, it's a more optimistic mood than this time last year.
That's great. And, you know, like you said, overall market seems to be doing just fine.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, that ripples down to the M&A activity as well. There's a number of agencies we work with.
Sure.
Right. And there's a number of agencies here at the show. Could you share with us, like, how does an agency founder or the founding team at an agency, what's involved in being prepared?
Yeah.
To benefit from some sort of an exit?
Yeah. It's a great question. So you think about it working backwards. You're trying to find somebody who is ready to pay you many multiples of your current income for the expectation of future income. You may or may not want to continue on in your day-to-day role. That affects kind of what you do to prepare and what a suitable exit option is for you. But ultimately, what I can say with confidence is whenever you go to sell your agency, you're going to be valued pretty much on a multiple of your profit. And so to work backwards from there, people are going to be looking at what is the reliability of the income that I can get from this business. Yes, how does it fit strategically into what I'm doing more broadly? Maybe I'm a retail-focused service provider that wants to add an e-commerce aspect to it. That's all important. But when it comes down to evaluation, it's always going to come back to the profitability of your agency and the confidence people have around the continuation of that. So, things that will really move the needle, apart from, of course, overall revenue and profit, is your customer concentration. So, a thing we see a lot of times is somebody might get to a place where they've got really attractive bottom line numbers, but 30% of their revenue comes from one client. And guess what? If that one client goes away, that's 100% of profit. That's a challenging lie of the ball. And so it's not that you don't want to have clients that are giving you lots of money, but you've really got to figure out how to manage around contracts that can just make sure that you've got as balanced of a portfolio as possible. Another really important thing around continuity is team and kind of how does this thing run after a transaction. You hear a lot about the term key man or key woman risk in agencies. So, Srinath, you're sort of the face of IntentWise, or at least for me. You've got a broad organization here, but a lot of agencies are known by their founder. So whatever you can do to start to not step out of that, but to make sure that there's infrastructure behind you and around you, that you've got competent, second level management that can continue to drive drive the business, even if you're not in the same kind of central day-to-day role. So in terms of like what you're doing day-to-day, I would say it's make sure that you're getting a healthy and robust mix of clients, that you're building up your team and investing in your team in a way that you're eventually going to start to get some profit from that investment as well. And overall, just serving your clients really well and retaining them. That's the number one thing that you're going to look at. People are going to look at is, of course, clients come and go, that there's some churn involved in any business. But if you're somebody that can retain clients, that speaks a lot of volume to the quality of your performance and the likelihood to continue doing that.
So growth, churn, reliability, yep. Customer concentration,
yep.
And team makeup. Can I come to some of the points I've picked up? Now, I have a tactical question.
Yeah.
And this is something I've always heard about M&A process, which is bookkeeping,
yeah.
Proper contracts.
Yeah.
Seems obvious, but
sure.
What do you find? And is that an area that, you don't find a lot of like good emphasis and discipline? Any comment on that?
Thankfully, accounting for an agency business should be a lot easier than, say, a business of one of your customers where they're importing containers from all over the world with who knows what's inside them, right? You're charging clients a bit of revenue, or you're charging clients a fee, and you're paying your employees. Now, there are next levels that you can get to that are very helpful to get to like account level profitability. So if you've got time mapping, et cetera, to be honest, that's helpful, but not necessary. So, but you do want to have a clean set of books. You do not need audited financials for anybody unless you're, a $10 million or more dollar EBITDA business that's looking at certain things. So you don't need an audited financials, but you should have an accountant and you should have an accrual-based P&L. I think a good practice that I advise some of my hopefully future clients often is to start a data room now. So have a folder so that, every new contract goes into the client contracts folder. It's a very practical way to prevent yourself from having to troll through emails for a month at the start of a process, right? Just put things like client contracts, vendor contracts, keep track of all of your customer accounts in one place. Some basic things that you'd want to work backwards from. Do that now so that whenever the time does come, yep, it's, right. It's less of a pull to start from scratch.
I like the term data room.
Yes. Yeah.
So data room for your exit. I like that.
And that can literally just be a folder on your desktop, but we can call it a data room.
Yeah, that's great. Valuations, yeah. Multiples, sure. Obviously an important consideration.
Sure.
Where are we at? What do you see at the moment?
Yeah, so it's still, again, provided that you've got some basic double-digit growth, you've got healthy EBITDA margins after your own compensation, you don't have existential client concentration risk, and you've got a good team. These are businesses that today, and it varies by scale, if you're If you're a smaller agency, you should expect kind of a mid single digits multiple. I'll keep it broad. There are larger agencies or ones that are kind of a particular fit for a given buyer that will hit the double digits. And certainly as you get north of 5 million of EBITDA, it's, you know, kind of a custom conversation. But I think for most of your listeners, if they think about building up to something that's 1 million of EBITDA, they should expect the mid single digits, kind of set their expectations there. You know, that is down a little bit from where we saw some assets trade 2 years ago,
yeah,
when interest rates were zero. But if you do the Excel math,
yeah,
it's just objectively the case that when you're using some debt, you just can't pay quite as much. And it's still a really good thing for, you know, life-changing sum for most folks who've been investing and growing their business for years.
Gotcha. One of the things I've seen is that there's obviously the financials that dictate, you know, the acquisition terms, but there's a whole story of what the agency is, what the agency can be for the acquirer. What about the storytelling should these agencies be thinking about currently to build towards?
Yeah.
And I'll just say, Nate, one pattern I've seen, especially some of the larger agencies, is like, I just see a lot of investment in, for example, analytics and data as an agency beyond just the managed services, right? I've always been curious, like, how that helps in building their story and their narrative to eventually, you know, benefit from a, you know, better valuation.
Yeah. I think that the most important things about your story, which should be clear to any agency owner, and if they're not, you should pull up and kind of push yourself to think about this, are who is my ideal client and why do they choose me and why do they use me versus all of the other ways that they could go about meeting this need?
Yeah.
Who is my ideal client matters because that's going to be a really strong determinant of who your ideal buyer is. So there are people that have really excellent agencies that serve really small e-commerce merchants only.
Yes.
Right. There are people who have really great agencies that serve just enterprise, and the buyer for those two businesses is completely different. And if you're an agency owner out there listening and you're saying, I have both of those, that's okay. But you really need to, you know, understand what's kind of your North Star, what's the core of your business and kind of who you're set up to serve. And I think it can be helpful to build towards that. Because again, people are going to be looking for overlapping customer base that they can cross sell their other services into, for example, and it has implications for other aspects of your business. In terms of what do I do very well and how do I use technology to enhance that, I think there are, as you know, lots of great technology tools that are third party. I do think that a number of people, a lot of people have fell into the trap of trying to build too much
themselves.
And, you know, if you spend $300,000 on custom developed software the year before you sell, guess what? It's hard to, we'll try to carve that out. But inevitably it's better if you didn't, if it's not contributing real value. But at the same time, if you've built custom systems that allow you to be more efficient and more effective for your customers, and it's part of your story about why they choose you, and maybe it's a custom interface that they have, or, you know, the customers love the visibility they have, the performance they have, that stuff can become part of the story. But I would just caution people against investing profits into technology just for the sake of that, when the market really values cash flow.
Makes sense. And perhaps just to rephrase, so like a deep clarity on ICP.
Yes.
And differentiation.
Yes.
Is kind of the point.
And you don't have to be perfectly unique, but you need to know, you need to be able to look somebody in the eye and say what you're very, very good at.
Totally makes sense. Nate, this has been fantastic. To wrap it up, any parting message for an agency that's out there that's thinking about M&A, and perhaps just a little bit of color on process, a typical process?
Yeah, maybe I'll start with process. So I'll start with your first question. The number one thing I would say is don't hesitate to start thinking about it and talking about it early. I think it's something that people keep close to their chests. But the reality is every business owner either runs their business forever, closes it, or sells it. And so the fact that you're considering it should not be, you know, overly, don't feel like it's overly sensitive. Talk to your peers who have done it, who haven't done it. And, you know, really, I think it can be helpful to have conversations all the time. I'd say 90% of the conversations I have are with people who are 3 years away from selling.
Yeah.
And that's great for me because they can start working on some of the things that I wish they had started working on now. And hopefully I'd like to think that it's helpful for them. So, you know, never too soon to start your process in thinking and planning, even if it's not a priority now. And when it comes to the process, no matter what, it's going to take like 6 months. I wish it went faster, but you know, if you're using a banker like Two Roads as an example, but really anybody, there's a first month where you're building pitch materials, you're putting together financial projections. You go out to the market, there's a month or so of that's where you as the agency owner are twiddling your thumbs, waiting to hear,
yeah,
what do people love me or not? You know, what's going on out there? But you're activating the market for a month. You start to get a sense for who's really serious and who's submitting initial indications of interest. And that's when you go into management meetings. People want to meet you and know you, maybe some of your key management teams, not necessarily that, but eventually, you know, you get a feel for who's really going to submit an offer. You sign an LOI where you get into exclusivity, and then it's anywhere from 2 months to 3 months of going through a very torturous diligence process. I'll not lie, it's not fun. You don't want to do it more than once. And so that's why you really want to make sure you've got the right party that's your high confidence in locked down. Because yeah, you're gonna not enjoy the diligence process, but ideally you only have to do it once again.
Nate, this has been super insightful. Thank you for taking the time at a busy conference.
It's great.
And hope to stay connected.
We will. Thanks for that.